They're just two parents who happen to be dads. One called Harley, the other one is Wads. It's not really Wads, it's Wade! But Wade doesn't rhyme with dads. It's shitting with the door open.
Anyway, it's been a nice run.
Why did Harley get cancelled? Well, you'll never believe this. Welcome to Shitting with the Door Open. I am Harley Breen. Wade Nathaniel Duffin is also here, present and accounted for.
Oh, we're both here. This is fun. And I'm sitting all the way back from my mic today. As we were talking about before, I've been sitting too close to the mic and it's been peaking a bit. But now I'm back at one, probably about 40 centimetres away, about a cock length. Just one. All right. We did that joke earlier and it was very funny. And Harley just lost it straight away.
Why did I expect anything different? I've got a mate. I have a Kraken story for you that involves the kid that lives vertically. He came into town like a cyclone, like a whirlwind, full of positive energy, coastal destroyer is what he had.
A typhoon.
Yeah, a typhoon of Leonard. We'll get on to that. What have you been cooking? What's happened? What's on the table?
We've actually made like a few great things in the house recently. I made these beautiful kind of like salmon cakes, you know, like the...
Ooh, fish cake.
Like the other fish cake, yeah, like a little fish cake. But just with some tinned salmon and like, you know, the egg and the breadcrumbs and the flour, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. But I've mixed some Thai curry paste through. Luxa paste. I mixed some Luxa paste through and a squirt of sriracha.
Hello.
And they were amazing.
Girls, your girls don't eat that.
No, that was just for me and Claire.
Right. So how do your girls go with spice?
Penny is really good with it. She is actually, she loves it. She loves it. Kimchi. If we've got like kimchi in the house, she's like gets all pumped.
Okay.
She get like a rice kimchi and a glass of milk and she just kind of just goes
just barrels
in
through it.
Just barrels through it. Loves it. Yeah, really loves it. I made her like a fucking super tasty quesadilla the other day with leftovers. With some taco chicken left over. So I put that in a quesadilla, chopped up fine, with some kimchi and some cheese and a little squirt of like kewpie mayo.
Nice.
Just in the quesadilla. And she went mad for it.
I
was actually
it.
Super tasty. Yeah, it was real
See,
tasty.
My kids, you know, my two little kids, quite a bit younger than your two. And then Leonard is, he's sort of around on spice. But I'm hitting the end of my patience with it. Like, get some spice. Like, please. Yeah. I've kept it out of so many recipes. Can I please put it back in?
Well, what I do and what I started doing years ago was I have like a little container of just dried chili flakes.
Yes.
So I cook everything without the spice. And then for my meal, at the end, I'll just sprinkle some on like it's like salt and pepper. And then
I just
add the heat that way. Heat that way without any of like the hot sauce flavor. Hot sauces are delicious, but sometimes you don't want to change the flavor of the dish.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. You like that's why I've got probably three or four different hot sauces rolling around in the fridge at the moment, plus chili flakes or those sorts of things. However, it's sort of like salt or any kind of spice. If you cook it into the dish, it takes on a completely different flavor than if you're putting it on after. Anyway. I'm not going down the road of cooking two meals. I'm just not doing
it. Yeah, that's where we find ourselves sometimes. But last night we made a platter.
Yes.
And I just wanted to make this beautiful platter. So I got like some smoked salmon, some beautiful salami, like three different kinds of like delicious cheese. There's one kind of cheese from the Netherlands I'd never heard of before, Rhenemar or something. And it was amazing. Kind of like a hard cheese that was almost like a... Almost had like a parmesan texture and like a softer kind of parmesan, but just as hard, but just a bit of flavor. It was excellent. This truffle triple cream brie.
Hello.
Which was fucking insane. And then we had like some pickled veg that I'd made, some like pickled cauliflower, had some cornichons, some olives, some vegetable sticks, you know, like the...
You sent me a photo of this and I thought like the platter looked like any platter that you'd put out for an afternoon soiree. But then you also had a whole plate full of vegetables. And so all of a sudden you've turned the platter into a meal.
Into a meal. And it was. Brilliant. And then we had some tiramisu salata, like that kind of like fish dip. You know, that stuff, like the pink stuff, which is delicious. Anyway, and it was excellent. The girls, as we've talked about before, because they were fully in charge of what they were having, what they weren't, just smashed it. Smashed it.
No, well, I turned my evening meal I'd say the majority of the time I'm serving meals like this now, I'm serving it up as a platter. So mine was just meat and roast vegetables with some really quickly blanched sugar snap peas, because you don't need to do much to those, leave them crunchy. So it was just really just to bring them to the same temperature. Had roast veggies that I'd put in with. Now, I got a pork shank.
These are
the things that are
pork
happening.
Shank.
Yes. These are the things that are happening because of Echo Valley Farms. I'm getting these cuts of meat that I just normally wouldn't buy or that I don't even see available. Yeah. And so, you know, obviously everybody has heard of a lamb shank. And the pork shank, I guess, would be sort of like a ham hock that you'd put into a split pea soup kind of thing.
Fucking, I love that shit.
But I read this sort of, it's essentially what you would ham. You would turn it into a ham, and that's kind of what I did. So I read this basic recipe. I didn't like parts of it and sort of adapted it to what I wanted. So I made like a liquid that the ham shank was going to sit in, which was rice wine vinegar, maple syrup, and chicken stock.
Oh.
And that sat about 1.5-2 inches in the bottom of this pan. And it was a baking dish.
About a penis.
You don't know your imperial and metric very well. 40 centimetres, 2 inches.
Like that's 40 centimetres hard and 2 inches soft. It really swells up.
The real shower, just, that one.
It's a real shower.
A grower, sorry.
It's a grower.
Not a shower.
It's a real grower.
Well, I can take that. Wait a minute. No, I can't.
Hang on a second. And it just keeps going. It's like a balloon. Like one of those balloons that the clowns blow up. It goes, whoa. Tight little knots.
So,
little balloon animals.
I put my pork shank in a penis level of water liquid.
The flaccid penis level.
And then the recipe called for like a brown sugar, salt, rosemary kind of mix over the top. But I just went, I can't be bothered with that. So I chopped up some rosemary leaves and salt and rubbed that into the skin that I'd already diamond cut. Yeah. And then I just had this, it might even been from you, I can't remember, but I had an old jar of marmalade jam in my fridge and I just poured that over the pork shake.
Come on.
Then I put it in an oven at 160 degrees for 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
And then I took the top off, like I'd wrapped it up in 3 layers of foil and took that off and basted the top of it again and a bit more marmalade and put that back in for another 30 minutes uncovered at 160 degrees, took it out, basted it again, then put it back in that oven at 240, well, the hottest the oven could go for about 15-20 minutes. And it was like, it's not like you do a slow cooked lamb shoulder or something like that. It didn't pull apart like that. It was a bit like a ham and I sliced it really thin. And then with all of the liquid, I reduced that down and put some flour in to thicken it up, which was just full of maple and marmalade. It was really like a surprise nailed it dish. Like it was, so I had all these different parts of the pork shank cut up because there was different levels of tenderness and that was on the platter and then the sauce and then all the vegetables and the sugar and snap peas and everyone had a great time.
Mate, that sounds amazing. It genuinely sounds restaurant quality. Like that is just top tier cooking. I love
it. It was great. Do you know the great shame is with the dog, you cannot give your dogs, you shouldn't give your dogs bones at all apparently, but you certainly can't give them cooked bones. And so I've got this beautiful big ham bone and I can't give it to my dog.
Except when you go to the pet store, because I've heard that as well, but when you go to the pet store, they have like all these bones to give to your dog. But is that because they've like cooked them so they're super dry? So they're not.
I reckon that's the case. So they can crush them up and they don't splinter into shards that can create pretty big life-threatening problems in their throat.
Yeah. I've heard, like, is it raw chicken bones you can give the dog? Or just don't give them any chicken
because
bones.
I looked this up the other day. You can't give... Dogs are like humans in terms of raw chicken. It'll go straight through them like it does us.
Oh.
Yeah. So, no good. Don't give your dog raw chicken. You can give your dog raw red meat, like we can eat raw red meat, but no raw chicken. Yeah.
No raw chicken for the dogs.
Yeah.
I never did, but I didn't know that I wasn't meant to either. I just never did. So there you go. Yeah. How about that?
That's there, good you there you go. What a win. You've had a win.
You've learned about cock sizes, and now they come in all different shapes.
It's already been the best episode of Shooting With The Door Open that we've ever done. But my God, do I have a Leonard story for you?
The best is about to get better. I cannot wait.
Mate, listen, everybody, just whatever you're doing, stop and lean into this story. So it was always
sit down, wherever you are.
Just sit down. Leave the door opened and do a shit as this happens. As you know, and maybe our listeners know a bit, it was always a little bit up for debate or negotiation of where Leonard was going to live and how that was going to look, which was probably the greatest challenge of this move, other than not being with my best mate, Wade.
Hello.
And then within a week, like I was still doing the drive, it was decided he was moving up, which I am absolutely pumped about. It's what I want. It's what Leonard wants. We're giving it a trial for the rest of this year and next year. He's going to be joining the same school that Walter goes to, which is just up the road from us. It's why we live in the area we're living. And he arrived just over a week ago on a Saturday, and like everyone's frothing, but at the same time, I am conscious of the recalibration. It had been 3 months since the kids had seen each other, which is by far the longest time in their existence that they've ever been away from each other. And so just wanting to create an environment where they slowly are recalibrating with each other. I'd already organized some sleepovers for Leonard with his grandparents and cousins and all that, which is he's currently on. The first day he got here, the kids were just like desperately wanted to show him around the area. So we take off sort of in the late afternoon to the local skate park. We're hanging out there and then we go and see the playground and then we go and see the beach. And then I'm like, I'm not even going to cook tonight. I'm not going to put that stress on me. So we got fish and chips.
Oh,
we get the fish and chips back. And then Leonard goes, "Oh, Dad, I can't find my bum bag." And I immediately go, I concede in my mind's eye, I know that it's on the edge of the skate park and I know that there are some questionable looking teenagers that were there when we were there, is the way that I'm going to diplomatically put it.
I had no idea where the story was going. I love it. This is fantastic.
So I don't even wait for the thinking music. The second he says, "Dad, I can't find my bum bag," I just start running. I'm running down the street in my thongs, like the bogan that should live in the area that I live in. And like, as I'm running too, I'm like...
Just quickly, so sorry. What's in the bum bag?
Well, what's in the bum bag is his mobile telephone, a whole lot of very personal things to him that are very precious, plus about $125 cash.
So nothing too important then.
No. nothing irreplaceable.
Oh, man.
And when you're 13 years old and you are literally on day one of your holiday, those are fairly important things. And
100%.
Yeah, cash is replaceable. The phone is also technically replaceable, but he has an old school phone with all of his friends that he's just recently really bonded with in Victoria. It's been quite hard for him to leave. I don't think we should gloss over that in terms of this story, that there was quite a lot of big emotional moments that happened for that kid in the last couple of weeks of him being in Victoria. Not the least of all, moving away for whatever period of time from his mother. That's huge.
That's a massive, massive thing. And I would say like a phone at 13, a phone now, it's like losing it is, it's replaceable, but what a fucking hassle.
What a hassle.
Like, what an absolute... endless series of like headaches to kind of get that through. $125 is not nothing to anybody, but to 13, like that's
huge.
That's a fortune, let alone all the personal effects that he's got. Well, so yeah,
he's got pictures of his mother, a charm that his mum's boyfriend bought him, things like that that are in it. And also the bum bag was not cheap either. That needed it. So I sprint back there and I get to the skate
sprinting in thongs as well.
Sprinting in thongs.
Very funny.
in the and it's in the dying light of the afternoon as well. The sun is setting. I'm like, I've got to try and get this. And as soon as I get to the skate park where it was sitting, it's not sitting there anymore. And now there's a guy there that wasn't there previously who I could best describe as looking like a bogan man child. Like he had, he is maybe in his late teens, early 20s, and has an absolutely furious mullet. Like it is fucking full on.
And I love like people with mullets. They're either ironically in the inner city in Melbourne or Sydney, or they're just unironically everywhere else. Like that's so funny.
You wait till you hear the details of this guy. There is zero irony. Like he was born with the mullet because he inherited it from his father. Like it is permanently bolted to his skull. And so I call across the skate park. Leonard's not quite there yet because he's coming on his unicycle. Sorry, did I miss that part? That he's on a fucking unicycle? Like we're in a tiny sleepy suburb and this kid's kicking around. They must have, like, the grapevine of the local area. There's a kid on the unicycle. Right. He's coming and this, I yell across at this bogan man child. I was like, hey, mate. And I'm puffed because I don't run. You know me. I don't do running. I can barely find my breath. Yeah, and I smoke.
So that's good for the lungs.
That's right. I don't run, but I do smoke. So,
you should be fine.
You can't have all the health benefits. I yell across at this guy and I just go, hey, mate, have you seen a bum bag? My kid left a bum bag. And he immediately comes back with, oh, nah, mate, I just got here. I just arrived here. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to persist with this. And I go, well, and he goes, oh, as I'm walking away, he goes, oh, do you want us to, do you want us to try and help you find it? Like, I can't think of anything worse than this person helping me do anything. I walk off. And I go to the other areas that we've been, including the public toilet that Leonard had to use while we were on that little trip earlier. Not there. I'm pretty furious. Like, I can't even hide how fucked off I am about this. And I kind of, I'm a bit pissed off at Leonard, but I'm really pissed off at me that I assumed that the 13-year-old would take care of his own stuff. And I should have just, in the excitement of everything, done what I did for Walter and Marigold and make sure he had his stuff as well. But I didn't. Yeah. And so I'm on the verge of taking out my frustration on Leonard because it's actually about me.
But I also think, like, that's Leonard is not a child anymore. And at some point, you have to be, like, you know, you can't keep kind of checking on them, like, constantly.
No.
Do you have your stuff? Do you have your stuff? Do you have your stuff? So I don't think you should beat yourself up about that. I'm not saying it's, like, Leonard's fault because he's 13.
Totally.
This
but
is
also
just one of those things.
But also factor in what he's just gone through, the emotional roller coaster.
True.
I should have been there to be
you
that
should.
Support.
You should.
So we get home. Yeah, I'm a fuckhead. At least I got a big dick. So
it's huge. It's a real. Like, but yours is a shower, not a grower. Like yours just, it's big when it comes out, but then it just stays the same size. If anything, it contracts a little, it tightens up. So it starts off at like 40 centimeters, it goes down to a healthy 30 centimeters, but it's hard. Like, you know, like it's like an iron bar. Whereas mine starts off quite small, you'd be like, oh, that's actually like abnormally small. But then it gets to abnormally large. You're like, well, that's fun, isn't it? And it's more springy.
Mine is like steel in the cold. It shrinks a little bit. Sick. So we get home and I kind of can't even talk to anybody. I'm just really furious and desperately want to find this thing. And it's mainly the phone. That's his point of connection with his mother. And there's all sorts of dynamics around that as well. Leonard's in his room. He has started to cry, which is totally understandable. And so I just go to Hannah. I'm like, I've got to go again. I've got to go and have another look. It could be in bins, you know, like at least because the phone, for context, is a new old Nokia. So it's a brand new phone, but it's the same as the Nokia 8410, 8510, whatever the fuck the numbers are.
So just one that you just text on.
Literally. That's all it is because I'm keeping them off smartphones, but it's got all these numbers and all of that shit. So I go.
So he still does the, I'm so sorry to interrupt, he still does like that, you know, like to get to like B, he's got to press the two button twice.
Yes, correct.
Classic.
He has to do that, which is great.
Classic,
And we've got
sorry, keep going.
We've got a little code in terms of when I text him because it actually takes him a while where if he needs to call, he can just press, you know, A and I'll just call him back. Or if he just wants me to know that he's seen the text, he texts B, you know what I mean?
Oh, that's really clever.
Yeah.
I'm genuinely thinking of like getting either rid of my smartphone or just getting using the smartphone just for banking and...
Yes.
And like life stuff and actually just getting like a dumb phone because of how much I'm on the phone, of how addicted I am to it.
This fixes it. And the school that he's joining the Steiner system, and they, as a recommendation to parents, is that no screens midweek and minimized on the weekend. I'm like, well, cool. Yeah, right. We're already trying to do that anyway. So I can't wait for him to join a community that are doing similar things so that his mates are all on the same page.
Yeah, sweet. We have started a thing. We've gone a bit off track, but that's all right. We've started a thing where we give the girls 210 minutes of screen time each a week, which is like half an hour a day.
Yep.
And they can spend it as long as they've done, like they've cleaned up their room and stuff like that, then they can spend it when they like. So they can watch like an hour and a half in one day, or they can watch like 10 minutes. And because they're generally together when they watch the screen, it's like 1 hour of screen time a day.
Yeah. So they're pooling. They're pooling their screen time.
So they'll pool their screen time, yeah.
No, I might talk to Hannah about that after this record because we need some kind of system so the kids actually know where the fucking goalposts are.
Exactly, and that gives them a bit more autonomy, like when they're when they want it, which is really good for them. And they also like learn pretty quickly that it's Friday and I'm out of screen time. Can we watch some TV? Sorry, mate. Like that's
you spent it all.
You spent it all, and occasionally we'll watch something as a family, like we'll watch like some doco or something, and that's not theirs.
Yeah.
But generally, it's like, sorry, mate, that's
I love
that's
that. It. Yeah. I think that's great. So, I leave Leonard on his bed, fairly upset, and I run out. And by this stage, the two little kids are really clued onto this, and Walter's become quite anxious about Leonard and his lost stuff. I only know this after the fact because Hannah filled me in, but he was really worried for Leonard and was trying to care for him, and you know, which is great, shows some good empathy for him.
Good kids.
Yeah, and so I run out to the exactly same locations. I get to the skate park. There's now the kid that was there when we left the bum bag there. And he's a bit of an older kid. I'd probably put him at 16, 17. And I'm like, hey, mate, I'm looking for my kid left his bum bag here. And he's like, oh, I didn't see anything. I'm like, all right, mate. Literally, you were here when raw, whatever. I'm not going to take it up with a kid. What am I going to do? You either did or you didn't. I walk off and I come around to the public toilets again. And as I'm there, the bogan man child walks out of the public toilet. This is the fuck it with the guy with the mullet nailed onto his skull. And he just walks out and the door made this weird noise. And he goes, fucking hell, man, check out the noise on this door. Like, what's fucking going on? I'm like, I don't know, mate. I don't know what that is. And I just walk off. He's a hectic dude, right? It just gets so much better. And I go, okay.
I just love the way this guy lives his life.
Like everything's amazing. He's just amazed by the noise of a hinge. Like, that's what it was. And anyway, I walk off and he yells out after me. He goes, are you still looking for that fucking bum bag, mate? I'm like, yes. I don't live in the park. Like, I'm looking in bins. I look like a crazy man. because I'm really frantic and I know I'm not going to stop and have a yarn at all. So he's yelling across the park at me again. He goes, "Hey, mate, you want us to fucking drive around? I can drive around and see if we can find a bum bag." I'm like, "Sure. Like, okay, do that." And he goes, "Oh, if we find it, how would I get in contact with you?" I'm not going to give the guy my address. And I go, I guess if you find, like, it's just, he's not going to find it. If I'm not going to find it, he's not going to find it. I just go, yeah. "Look, there's a phone in it. It's an old Nokia. Just, you could call me on that." And he goes, "Oh, is it locked?" And I'm like, "No, it's not locked. It's an old Nokia. You just, he goes, "Well, what's your number?" I said, "The last text message that's on that phone is from my phone." He's like, "Oh, yeah, right, mate. We'll go for a fucking drive."
I will say this about this guy.
Yeah.
Heart of gold.
And I promise you, I'm not even putting on that much of an impersonation of him. This is like, it's him. He's literally like this.
We've all met Australians like this. Yeah. No offense, Australia. I've been in this country for like 20 odd years. I love it here. But we know, don't we?
We know.
We
you.
Know. We know you.
That's why I find it so easy to do the accent.
Yeah, fucking
boy. Right. So I do a bit more frantic hunting in places where we kind of weren't even. I'm looking in bins with my phone light and I'm doing that. And then I'm like, I'm just not going to find it. And it's the personal stuff I'm trying to locate. And I get back home. Leonard's still on the bed and he's really upset. And by this stage, a lot of the adrenaline had sort of got out of me. And I said to him, "Listen, man, this is a shit thing. It's a shit thing that happened. It's a lesson learned. I'm not going to beat up on you on this because there's nothing to gain from it. You've already been punished enough by losing your stuff. But yeah. let's treat it as a moment to learn from that and move on. He's sort of at the inconsolable stage of his grief, and I'm like, "It's fine, man," and I just leave him to it and go out the back.
Yeah. Huge moment for him, and like after, as you say, after a huge giant thing that's happened, like the move up from Melbourne to the, like it's just
ginormous.
Yeah.
Then I'm out the back and I'm trying to figure it out. I'm like, already tomorrow, right? I've got to go out and get a phone. I've got to get a bum bag and blah blah blah. Try and help him get all these numbers of his friends and how can we put all that together? And then I hear my phone ringing. And I go inside and it's Leonard's phone number is calling me and I answer the phone and who do you reckon is on the other end of that fucking phone call, Wade? Do you reckon it's the bogan man child? Because it fucking is. On the other end of the phone, this is what he says when I answer. I'm just like, "Hello, Harley speaking." He goes, "Oh, man, fuck. I think I found your bum bag. I'm pretty sure it's yours." I'm like, "Well, I reckon the fact that you're calling me on my kid's phone means it's 100% my kid's bum bag." And he goes, oh, man, I'm feeling really frantic. Like, where are you? I'll come and meet you." Again, I'm not going to give this guy my address. I go, "Oh," he goes, "I'm where I saw you before." I'm like, "I'm coming back." Again, there's a crazy lunatic father running down the street in thongs. I'm sprinting back to where he was. At this
point, you haven't taken the time to put shoes on at any point.
Do you know a fun fact? This is 100% the truth. I have been here now for 5 weeks and have not put a pair of shoes on in 5 weeks. I'm in Queensland, baby. So I get back there and he's with his mate. They were together the whole time. And he's sort of frantically walking up to me, like eyes really fucking wide and like pigeon chest out. And he's like, "Oh, man, I fucking can't even believe I found it, mate." And I am elated. And I'm like, "Thank you so much." And I grab the phone and I grab the bum bag. And I go, "Is the money still in it?" And he goes, "Oh, I didn't even fucking open it, mate." I'm like, "Well, you clearly did because you just made a phone call on the phone that was in the bum bag." I didn't say that. I was like, "Okay, mate." I said, "What's your name?" Now this, if I was telling this story in comedy, which I absolutely will be, I would make this name up to fit with this story, but this name is not made up. I say, "What's your name?" And he says, "Jaden." And I just went, "Fucking hell." Couldn't be more perfect. And he goes, now this might not mean much to you, But anyone in Queensland will know what this means. He goes, man, I'm not even fucking from here. I'm from Morayfield. Yes, Jaden, you are from Morayfield.
I don't know what that means. No. But I get it.
Yeah, so yeah, then yeah. I get the bum bag, I get that. Jaden says some more shit that I'm not even interested in. Blaze is his mate's name. It's Jaden and Blaze. So good. Now, this is the point I wanted to get to, and this is the point I made to my child. Let's be absolutely clear. Jaden always had that bum bag. Jaden fucking took that bum bag. That was always in Jaden's possession. There is no way that a set of coincidences played out that the guy that was so enthusiastic to find the bum bag actually found the bum bag. And Jaden has that $125. And as I said to Leonard, that is tax. You are paying a tax to Jaden for not looking after your stuff. And Jaden earned that fucking money. Now, in future, keep your bum bag on.
100%. As you said, look at the story, I'm like, this guy's got a heart of gold. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, I reckon Jaden's got that bum bag, to be honest.
Jaden always had it. Jaden had the moment I got to the skate park. Got here, mate. No, you fucking got the bum bag, Jaden.
Like, the moment he was introduced into the story, I'm like, I know where this ends. I've seen TV and movies. I know how this works.
And the best part is that I think the multiple times that Jaden and I ran into each other, my story and my franticness and the fact that I needed my kid's phone and bum bag back played on Jaden's conscience. And I'll say it again. The money's yours, man. That's fine. Thanks for the phone and the personal keepsakes. But you also, earned the money.
When you talk about like him coming out of their thing, I'm like, oh, a fucking weird door. It's him covering up, looking inside the bum bag.
Absolutely, that's what was going on.
Like, he's just come up with like this random statement, oh, that door's a bit weird, as if to say like, oh yeah, like as if to like throw you off the scent. Like, that door is a bit weird. And he's like, ah, the perfect crime.
I got him. Yeah, and it's like I kind of want to track him down and just go, genuinely thank you. Because what was he going to do with the Nokia? I mean, I suppose turn it into a burner phone, which is why most people buy them anyway. What was he going to do with the little keepsakes, the little charms and shit like that? You know, whatever. So, you know, it's a shitty story that ended pretty well for Leonard, but what a whirlwind arrival.
Out of all the things to lose out of the bum bag, the cash was the first thing you'd throw. That's the first, like that's the best possible outcome apart from getting the cash with it, I think.
Yeah.
So, fuck, was he elated? Was Leonard like elated when he got the stuff back?
Yeah, he was. It was mixed emotions. He was happy. I think for the phone, there was one little charm that he got from his mum's boyfriend that wasn't in there for some fucking weird reason. He told me what it was. I'm like, I don't know why they took that. They probably didn't take it. Probably just fell out. His grandparents have since secretly put cash back into the bum bag. You know, so he's fine. It took him a while. Then the guilt sets in and I'm sorry, Dad, that I'm always a burden. I'm like, you're not a burden, mate. That's not being a burden. That was just a shitty moment in your head because you took your bum bag off and you just left it there. Let's just not do that again. That's all right. Lesson learned. Could have been worse.
It's tough when your kid feels like they're like that way. Like the oldest is always apologizing to me at the moment. She's like, oh, sorry, Dad. If she bumps something, I'm sorry, Dad. I'm like, oh, yeah. I've created an atmosphere where you feel like you have to apologize constantly.
Totally.
And I have to keep telling you don't have to apologize for everything. You don't. It's just not a thing that we need to do. And if I'm snapping, that's something I need to work on. You don't need to apologize for me snapping at you for a small thing. Like that, I need to apologize to you. Like that's how that works.
It's confronting as a parent when they do, because my kids are the same, right? They do that. And I'm trying to reprogram myself at 43 to stop apologizing to people. Like I got somebody asked me to do something for them yesterday, a neighbor, and I didn't want to do it. I just like, I had stuff on and it came out of nowhere. And then I was writing this really apologetic text. I'm like, hold on, I'm just sitting here minding my own business. Why am I sorry? Like, I haven't done anything wrong. Why am I apologizing?
Yeah.
You know, and it's the same with my kids. I'm like, if you do something wrong, if you've wronged somebody in whatever way, then apologize. If you haven't, don't say sorry.
No. And I will often, like, if I'm writing, like, a work email or something, I will often put, like, a few apologies in there. And I've had to start going, no. And if it's real business, I'll just say, thanks for understanding.
Yes.
Just really kind of like, yeah, I appreciate your help in the matter, or this needs to be done without apologies. Because I know when I get an email without apologies in it, I don't get upset about it. So no. Why would somebody else?
Yes. Know? And also, sorry, but when I started telling the story about my kids going to a skate park, did you think it was going to end with a broken limb? I'm just saying yes. It's a win. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. It's a fucking win.
100%.
There's no broken bones.
I thought this was going to the hospital until Jaden appeared. And I'm like, oh, hello. This is taking a twist.
In breaking news, I've got a whole lot of ice if anyone needs some.
That was a roller coaster. What a story.
Wasn't it? Yeah, mate. And on like within hours of him arriving. Within hours.
Of course.
Of course.
But it's almost good to get that stuff out of the way. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you get a big emotional offload, a big fucking emotional trauma dump. Yes. I don't know if those are the right words.
Sure.
But a big, a lot of emotions. He was already feeling a lot. He was already going through a huge amount. And to have this happen just brings a whole lot of shit to the surface straight away. Like, you've just flooded the area. Just went boosh. And then it can drift away and you can deal with, like, deal with it afterwards, but it's almost good to have that happen straight away, I think.
Yeah, and I think fortunately that'll be the end of those kinds of stories with my children. It's smooth sailing from here. No more craziness. No more intensity. Nothing. It'll be done. In fact, the podcast's over. I have nothing more to share. Everything is tickety-boo!
Grower, not a shower.
Stop thinking about the idea that there is a penis out there that is bigger, flaccid.
It's hard. But then when it's hard, it's just like rock hard. Like it's like, you know, it's like an anvil.
All of that mass just condensed into.
It's like a neutron star. I love that the dick jokes are back. That's great.
I reckon Jaden would have a mullet on his dick. That's how much
he had a mullet. Imagine like you're grooming your pubes into a mullet. That'd be so great.
I think his hair just grows naturally like that. I don't think he had a cut.
Man, I love talking to you. It gives me an emotional stiffy. It's the best.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, me too. I'm horny for friendship.
I'm horny for friendship.
This is what they call guerrilla marketing.
Oh, man. All right. This has been a great one. Really appreciated that story. That was excellent.
Yeah, well, thank you to Leonard for being the constant giver of content.
Look, if you enjoyed it, give it a review, give it a share, give us a like. All that stuff helps. It's great. We appreciate it.
I'm just right, like any moment now. She could be in labor right now. I'm about to welcome my fourth child into the world. So if you wanted to sign up for Patreon, my expenses are about to go up 25%.
Which reminds me, because you're about to have a baby, we usually come out on a Tuesday, like clockwork.
Yes.
That may change in the coming weeks, where it may come out on like a Wednesday or a Thursday, because we go week to week. We try to keep it as fresh as possible.
Yes. Yep. We're recording this as you're hearing it. It's amazing. I don't even know how the technology works, but this is live, baby.
We'll try to bring it out on the Tuesday, but it may just come out on a Wednesday or Thursday, and that's just life, because that's just what it is. It is what it is.
That's how it is. It is what it is.